We're going to be in Romans 12. Open up your Bibles to Romans 12, you guys. Today will be the last of our summer series. We've been talking about things to how to have a successful summer. How many of you guys would say you had a successful summer? That you had a good summer in the Lord, that you learned, that you grew, that you're a different person than you were when you got out of school? Wow, just three of you. That's amazing. Four, five, cool. Romans 12, verse 9, and let's read the word. Let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in the spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to the hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. God, thank you so much, Lord. Powerful words, Lord. God, of a life you're calling us to lead. What it means to be a true Christian. God, I pray that as summer has over and we are all starting a new era, whether it's a new school year, a new season, new things are happening. And God, I pray that we would make our new school, our new year, our new whatever part of our life's resolution to follow you closer, to know you better. God, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So every year on December 31st, half of all American adults make a New Year's resolution. And here's the top 10 things that they say. They want to spend more time with their family and friends. They want to exercise more. They want to lose their bulging belly fat. Who doesn't want to do that, apparently? They want to quit smoking, enjoy life more, quit drinking alcohol, get out of debt, learn something new, and help out others more. And number 10, get organized. And while these are all great things, and if anybody's doing these things, I think you should stop doing those things too or start doing some of them, they're not that great. Because I think it would be a lot different if we had a top 10 list for Christians and maybe even for Christian mid-schoolers like you guys. And these are the hard things. See, people don't make resolutions about easy things. No one's like, oh, I want to eat more. I want to gain more belly fat, right? Everyone's like, I have to do these hard things. That's why it's a New Year's resolution. And so I would say here would be 10 hard things for middle schoolers, for all of us to probably do, that we should probably try to do. Number one, tell people about Jesus more. Number two, volunteer more of my time. Number three, start a Bible club. Number four, start a prayer club. Number five, obey my parents more. Yikes. Number six, pray more. Seven, finish the whole Bible in a year. Number eight, learn how to defend my faith better. Number nine, glorify God by doing well at school. And number 10, go to church more. You see the difference between the world's top 10 and what we would say is our top 10? I wonder how many of you guys have ever made a promise to God, maybe over New Year's, maybe over another time in your life when you've resolved to do something better for God. You've resolved that, hey, I want to do this, God, and I want to become this person. And maybe a lot of you have fallen short of that. Well, today isn't December 31st, and you guys know that, but it's the start of a new year. And for a lot of you, it's the start of a new school year. And it's a time to look towards the future, to look what we can change and how we can follow God more closely. Maybe you guys last year didn't have such a great year in school. Maybe you were caught up. Maybe you didn't do well academically, or maybe you didn't do well spiritually. Maybe you fell into sin and you weren't doing a great job at sharing your faith. And I want you to know that this year can be completely different than the year you had last year. Or maybe it's the complete opposite. Maybe some of you guys had an epic year last year. Maybe some of you guys felt like, man, I shared the Lord. I shared my faith. I did well at school. Man, I was great last year. I want you to know that there is no limit to what God can do. God can give you an even better year this year. Even if last year was an on-fire year for you, for God, there's still more that you can do. There's still greater things that are yet to be done, like the song. And no matter what group you're in, with the Holy Spirit guiding you, you can have and do and have a better year, an amazing year. So no matter what group you're in, whether you had a great year or a bad year last year, listen to this. Out of all the people who make a New Year's resolution every single year, 75% of them won't even make it 1 month. Isn't that insane? So 75% of them, really, they don't even care. They just made their New Year's resolution a month. They probably did it for a couple weeks, and then after that, they just gave up. They gave up because it was too hard. And look at this. And out of all the people that go past that month, anywhere from 4 to 40% of the people will continue throughout the year. And you may be asking, 4 to 40%, that's a pretty big difference, right? 4 to 40%. Here's the difference. The difference in the study that I saw was how much and how serious people took their New Year's resolution. Did you get that? So the difference between being a 4%er or a 40%er was just how serious that you took your New Year's resolution. So the difference for you guys to succeeding this year or not succeeding could be very much how much you actually think this is important and how much you actually care. So your chances are raised a huge portion just by caring about what you're going to be doing this year. And how much more will it not be raised with Jesus helping you, right? That's like the factor that's going to raise everything, right? You may be able to do 40% and last to the end of the year, but with God, it's like 100% chance if you just rely on him. So I made these cards for you guys today, all right? And they're on the back table. They're called my school year's resolution. And even if you're not starting school, whatever you're doing, this is how you can make it serious. I pray that you guys would fill this out when you leave and you would say, what is it that God would want me to do better this year? And what is my goal that I want to do better this year? Because if you just say, hey, I want to talk to people more about the Lord, and you never write it down, you never think about it, you're just human. You're going to be prone to forget things. That's just how we are. But if you make a real commitment, and you fill this out, and maybe you even bring it with you, put it in your bag, put it somewhere where you're always at, and you remember each day, I made a promise to God. Maybe you'll take it a little bit more serious this year, and I hope you do. And so this first step we're going to talk about today on our school year's resolution is called Be Real. And we're going to be in verse 9. We just read it, but let's read it again. Sorry, I lost my place. Let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So first thing that you need to do is to be real. It says that we need to love without hypocrisy. You know, there's nothing worse, you guys. There really is so many few things that are worse than a Christian who is fake, than a Christian who makes us all look bad, right? Because we can see, we know, maybe you guys know somebody like this, right? Maybe this is the person who at school, or maybe comes to Velocity, and it looks like they have all the right stuff, right? They have their Bible, and they have their stuff, and they love to give opinions, and they love to tell people about what they should be doing, but they themselves don't even live a Christian lifestyle. Or maybe they call themselves a Christian, and you guys, you know, you would consider them a Christian, but then you see them at school, and they're doing things that aren't very Christian. And they're hanging out with people who aren't very Christian. And they're not hanging out with these people to spread the gospel. They're hanging out with them just as their friends, as their company. Maybe that's what it is. They are fake, they're hypocrites, and they don't live a true lifestyle for the Lord. Jesus spoke a lot about these people in his ministry, you guys. He spoke a lot about the Sadducees and the Pharisees being like this. And in fact, in Matthew 23:27, he says, "Woe to you, for you are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful, but your insides are full of dead men's bones." That's so awesome. And that's what a fake Christian is. Wow, you look really good from the outside. Yeah, you look like a Christian. You got the books, you got the walk, you got the talk, but inside you're full of death and sin. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. He's saying, imagine if you dug out a tomb out of the ground and you washed it off and it looked like a brand new casket, right? Imagine if it looked all good. When you opened it up, there would still be a body in there that has been in the ground for who knows long, a dead body, dead men's bones. And he says that's what a fake Christian is like. Someone who looks good on the outside, but guess what? It's the inside that counts, and your insides are all dirty. Here's the deal. If you guys are a Christian and you don't live like it, you call yourself a Christian, do us all a big favor and don't call yourself a Christian, because it ruins all of our testimonies. If you don't live like a Christian and call yourself a Christian, when I try to, I already get looked at like a hypocrite. And so do you guys, and so will you guys. So we need to be careful about that. We don't want people to call themselves followers of Jesus unless they're literally following Jesus. Non-Christians, you guys, can smell a fake Christian from a long place away, from a long way away. And they can see that you're not living the true life. And that if you're trying to tell them what to do and you yourself aren't living like that, then who are you to tell anybody how to live their life? Who are anybody? This is why our first point is be real, because you need to be real, legit. You need to be sincere, you guys. If you want to accomplish anything this year, you yourself have to be right with God first. You cannot even begin to help other people unless you yourself are right with God. You know, it's actually illegal to advertise for false advertisement, right? There can't be like a billboard that says like, here's all this stuff that's going to happen if you come here and do this. And then you go there and none of that stuff happens. That's illegal. You can sue them for that. It's called false advertisement. And it should be the same among Christians too. Too many of us call ourselves representatives of Jesus. We carry our Bibles around and we do all this stuff, but we lack true faith. We lack the actions of a true follower of Christ. And some of you call yourselves believers, but then you leave here and you cuss. And some of you guys call yourselves Christians, but then you go lust after a boy or a girl. And some of you guys listen to music that does not glorify God in any means. And some of you call yourselves Christians, but you go gossip about people who are less cool than you, who are not as good as you are as you think. And that's what I'm talking about as the fake people. And here's the deal, you guys. I'm not talking about messing up, okay? I don't want you to think that if I stumble or one of you guys falls into a sin and you repent of it, that's who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that, because none of us are perfect, you guys. I'm talking about people who continuously are in sin. People who come here, hear the word of God, hear truth, and then leave here and go sin and go do things that are contrary to what we teach here and what the Bible calls them to do. When they know the truth and they still continue to not live in it. Those are the people I want to talk to, that I'm talking to. And these people who go home and treat their families poorly, treat their parents poorly, even though they've heard the word. Verse 9 says we need to harbor what is evil, cling to what is good. That means we should pretty much hate evil and love what is good. To be real, you guys, you should hate sin. And that goes along with being a hypocrite, you guys. You cannot, as a Christian, put up with sin in your life. You can't. There's nothing you could do. You should be disgusted by it. I remember before I was saved, I used to listen to that music. I used to watch those movies, and it didn't even bother me anymore. I was like, oh yeah, I could hear so many cuss words. No, nothing could be graphic enough for me. And then I'll never forget, once I was saved, the first time I heard one of those songs again, it was like nails on a chalkboard. It was like the worst thing I'd ever heard in my life, because I'd been renewed. I'd been born again, and everything was different. And so that's how it is for us, you guys. It once was said, our security against sin should be that we're shocked by it. When you guys fall into sin and you sin, you should be shocked by it. You guys will fall into sin. You're not perfect. But when it happens, you shouldn't be proud of it. It should be something that shocks you. It should be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. Or, oh my gosh, I can't believe I watched that. Or I can't believe I did that. Like, it should be shocking to us. We should never be okay with our sin. We should never be okay with it. Because guess what? God is never okay with your sin. God thinks it's a very, very big deal. And that it's such a big deal that the penalty for sin must be death of something. That's how important it is. And that's how much God hates it. We must be known, you guys, as Christians at our schools. We must be known by our stance on good and evil. It isn't that we do good, you guys, because we fear getting in trouble, because we don't want God to reprimand us. We don't want, you know what I mean? You guys shouldn't obey your parents because you're scared that they'll punish you, scared that they're going to ground you. You should do it because you should honor them and obey them, because that's what God's word says and that's what God's called you to do. So we don't want to do evil because we're scared of God, right? We don't want to do good because we're afraid what God is going to do to us. We want to do it because we love God and because we know it's best, and we know that God hates evil. And if God does, then we ought to. So the first thing you have to do, you guys, to impact your school and to be real and to be right with God yourselves. You must be real. Because if you go into school, you guys, and you try to do these things when you aren't right with God, you will lose all credibility. You will lose it all. And you'll spend the whole year just trying to get back your character and trying to reprove to people that, yes, you are who you say you are and that you are a Christian. So start off the year, you guys, being real, getting right with God first before you even think about working for God, being a servant of God. This next point, you guys, is called be love. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuously steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of saints, given in hospitality. So, this first part says that we need to be kindly affectionate to one another. So, this can be used for you guys as being affectionate to other believers, as well as your enemies, as well as people who aren't believers, who aren't necessarily your friends. You guys, we have to, at first in our schools, we have to identify with those who are believers first, right? Because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And if we do that, then we'll be able to join in with them. We'll have more people, we'll have more of a cause to help change our schools, you guys. And when you see these persons, it says, give them some affection, some godly affection, right? Of course, you know what I mean? Guys are like, oh, cool. I'm going to give that girl a kiss next time I see her because she's a Christian, right? It doesn't mean that. It means, you know, give them a high five, give them a hug, give them a pat on the back, do something godly. But it says you should acknowledge other believers when you see them as, hey man, yeah, what's up, dude? I know you're a Christian too. I am too. Let's, you know, we're going to be in this fight together. So, you know, I just want to make sure you know that I got your back if you got mine, you know? So we should obviously be nice and loving and understanding to those who are Christians, right? That's the easy things. We should get to know other believers at our school, you guys. We should definitely get to know other believers because they're going to help you affect the rest of your school. But here's the deal. As Christians, we are called to love more than just the people who are Christians, more than just our brothers and sisters. Listen to what Jesus actually said about loving your enemy in Matthew 5:43. You don't have to change there. I'll just read it to you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So he's saying, how could you guys, can't just say hi to Christians. You can't just be like, oh, I only hang out with Christians. He's saying, even people who hate God do that, right? He's saying even the tax collectors would, of course, say hi to each other, right? And even think about today. Think about neo-Nazis. Even they show affection to one another. Even they hang out with each other. Even they are like, hey, brother, and hang out with each other. So he's saying, if all of those groups who are evil are doing this, then we need to do more than that. So we need to identify with the evil ones as well. We need to also love those people who hate us. And that's something very hard to do, but that's what we should do. We should extend love to those of us who love us, and in fact, those of us who hate us. And that's super hard to do. I know that sounds easier said than done, but there's a lot of people out there who don't deserve love, but we're asked to love them. Why would we ever extend love, you guys, to someone who doesn't deserve it? Well, for two reasons. Because it sets us apart, you guys. The world does not love their enemies, right? The world says that you should love people who love you, and if somebody hates you or does you wrong, you should totally get them back and then leave them be and never be their friend again, right? That's what the world says. But when we do different, how much more do we glorify God? How much more do people say, how is it possible that that guy loves that guy? Nobody loves that guy. That guy is a horrible person. Not even the sinners love that guy, right? But when we do it, we do something completely different. We show that God is real and that God is loving. We show that to God. We show that to people when we love enemies, because that's only something that Christians are doing these days, right? You don't ask a Muslim if they love their enemies. No, they want to kill their enemies. They're a very violent religion, right? So Christians are the only people on earth loving and being and trying to minister to those who actually hate them. And the second reason is because this is what God has done for us. God has set the example for us, you guys. Romans 5:10 says that we were once enemies of God, all of us. If you are not born again in this room, if you do not have the Lord in your life, you are technically an enemy of God. And all of us, before we were born again, were enemies of God. That's just what the Bible says. You see, when you're unsaved and you're living in sin, you're an enemy of God. It's that simple. You're with God or against God. You don't have to be, I've said this before, you don't have to be a go to a Satan church to be a follower of that. You just have to be against God. It's that simple. It's either with God or against God. So that's the deal. But listen to this. This is the best part. Even though we never deserved saving or grace or anything, guess what God did? He stepped in and he saved us and he loved us nonetheless. And that is why we love our enemies very easily, because God did it for us. And so every time we see a person and we're like, how am I supposed to love that guy? How could I ever love that guy, dude? That guy's messed up. That guy treats me poorly. Remember what God did. We treated God real poorly. We did a lot of nasty, bad things to God, and he still said, I'll accept you because I love you. And that's so cool when you love somebody who doesn't deserve it, right? When you see some guy over there who's, you know, acting horrible, and you go over there and you're like, hey, dude, I just want to hang out and say what's up, and I want to know about your life and stuff like that. You may get a lot of friction, but you never know what could happen. When you extend love to a person who doesn't deserve it, crazy things can happen, you guys, and you can definitely change a lot of these things. You guys will win more people over to God this year in your school year by loving them than you ever will by trying to tell them all this stuff and defend your faith and all this stuff about apologetics and all this stuff about it. You'll win more people by just loving people. You can have all the answers in the world, but when somebody's hurting and somebody's crying and somebody's having a tough time, the last thing they need to hear is, oh, here's a Bible verse. Let me ramble one off for you. Here, let me give you why this is true. They need someone to go over there, give them a hug and say, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? That is what they need. When you see somebody bummed out and you say, hey, dude, I don't even know you, but why are you so bummed out? And they're like, who are you? Why would you even care about what's going on in my life? And it's because we're followers of the Lord, and the Lord cares about this person, and therefore we care about this person. So that's why we do it, you guys, because we were enemies of God, and God's redeemed us, and that's how we can love people like that. Everything we do, you guys, should be done out of love, because God loves that person, and God loved us and still loves that person. And so we need to do everything out of love. Now, maybe you guys want to practically think about how you can love somebody at school. Maybe you need some options or some help, right? So how about doing something like this? How about finding a person you don't even know, maybe buying them some candy, doing something like that, buy them a book, get them something cheap. Find a complete stranger, put it in their locker, put it in their bag, surprise them somehow, and they're going to be like, what is the deal? Who does these kinds of things? Who just buys a complete stranger some candy and hangs out with this person, right? But you guys can do stuff like this. Or choose a person who doesn't know the Lord, you guys. You guys all know somebody. You don't have to just go up to them and be like, hey, you know what I mean? And like just start talking to them. Start off small, all right? Start off and say, I'm going to pray about this person, okay? I'm going to find this one person throughout the year. We all know one person that we could pray for. You don't have to just go up to them all immediately and say, God, I want to help this person. I want you to help me reach this person this year. And start off every day praying for this person. And then ask God to give you slowly an opportunity for you to get to know them. And then maybe down the line you could share your faith with them. Maybe you could invite them to Velocity. You could do something like that. If all of us, you guys, in here and on Saturdays and on Sundays brought one person with us, we couldn't even fit in this room anymore. Last Saturday night, we had like 130 people. We could barely even fit in this room anymore if we had 260 people in here. It would be insane. And we all know just one person that we could do that with, right? So maybe you can do something like that. How about you guys could eat lunch with somebody? How about you could invite that person to eat lunch with you? You guys could say, hey, you know what, dude? Let's get that guy over here, dude. Yeah, I know people don't like him. Yeah, I know he's not like my best friend, but man, he can come over and eat lunch with us. Who are we that we can't eat lunch with somebody that's not our best friend? You know, that's a practical way that you guys can show love at your school. Or how about you guys forgive somebody? There's got to be somebody you guys know that probably has wronged you. Man, maybe last year you had a tough problem with this person or something went on and you need to forgive that person. Or maybe you're the one who needs forgiveness. Maybe you're the one who's wronged someone last year. Maybe one of you guys was the gossiper or spread lies about somebody. Maybe you need to go up to that person and say, hey, listen, last year I made a mistake. I just want you to forgive me, and I just want you to know I'm not like that anymore. You know, maybe that's something that you can do to show the love of God. You guys, there's a million ways, literally, there's probably way more than a million, but there's a million ways to be creative and to reach people with love. There's a million ways. Love is always the best thing you can do. Loving is someone, especially when they have a problem or a tough time. You guys are in school. You guys see people all the time. You know that they have hard times. You guys have hard times. Imagine finding that person when they're having a hard time and going up and saying, let me hang out with you, man. What's going on? Let me pray for you. Hey, when I'm going through a tough time, here's what I do. Here's why I can have confidence throughout the storms because of my Lord. And then you can slowly tell these things about that, you know? The world says, love those who love you and hate those who hate you. But we as Christians say it's the other way. We love everybody. We love our friends. We love our enemies. And it's because Jesus loves them. So loving enemies, you guys, that's a bold thing to do. And that's going to bring us to our next point, which is called be bold. So we're going to be in verse 14 through 16. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise to your own opinion. How many of you guys have ever been to the store and you're like, who's likes barbecue sauce? Anybody like barbecue sauce, dude? I like it. Okay. So when you're like going through barbecue sauce, dude, what does one of the barbecue sauces say? It says bold, right? Like you're like, oh, the bold barbecue sauce. That's the one I want, right? And what does that mean? That means that it's got a little kick to it, right? That barbecue sauce has got a little bit of heat, a little bit of kick to it. It's not just like your normal, like sissy pansy barbecue sauce, right? This is like legit man barbecue sauce, right? Or something like that. But for reals, it's a little bit special. It's called bold because it's got like something different than the regular one. This is what you guys need in your schools, to be bold, all right? You need to stop being little like stagnant, you know, sissy flavor barbecue sauce and be the bold kind, the kind that has a little bit of kick to it. So we don't want to be just stagnant followers of Christ. You know what I mean? You guys following me here? We need to be those who aren't afraid to share our faith. We don't leave our faith inside our backpacks at school, right? And then forget to take it out. It doesn't work like that, you guys. It doesn't. It can always strikes me as odd, you guys, that every people group in the world is so adamant and bold about their whatever they're adamant and bold about, and here we are afraid to do everything about it. Here's a couple examples. Homosexuals. God bless them. They need to know the Lord too. But there's like a gay parade every couple of months, every couple of weeks, every city. It's like this huge, they block off streets, they block off parades. And I'm from Denver and they have like the biggest one in the world there. And you can't like even go anywhere that day because there's so many of them everywhere. And it's just like, you can't find a parking spot. You can't do anything. It's crazy. But here they are. They're not afraid to go out in the middle of the streets and tell you that homosexuality is not wrong. They're not afraid to give you their point of view. Or atheists. Man, they're not afraid to write book after book after book and go on CNN and go on MSNBC and tell everybody their viewpoint and why they hate and why they don't think God is real. But then here we are afraid to do things. Every people group is out there proclaiming what they think to be true. And then here we are, the ones who actually have truth in our lives, and we're afraid to go out there because we're afraid what somebody might do, like that guy in the video. He's afraid that somebody's going to slam the door in their face. But you don't hear anybody in the any homosexuals or atheists, you don't hear them afraid to go out and knock on people's doors and say, here, we want to legalize gay marriage. We want to teach evolution in schools. You don't hear them scared about it, so neither should we. We need to be vocal and bold for Jesus too. We need to be in our schools looking as it in a mission field, you guys. Every year, it blows me away, and it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a great thing to go to other states, other countries, other continents to spread the love of Jesus. That's great. But each one of you could literally name and or point out at least 100 people who do not know Jesus at your school. And that's just at your school. That's just at your school, you guys. You may not know their names, but you can tell by the way they live, by the way they talk, and the way that you could just point them out. Think of all those people who are yet to know the Lord just at your school. We need to be bold about that. Every day we should be looked at like a mission field, you guys. The Bible speaks of a spiritual battle, that spiritual battle that's going on all around us, you guys. And we need to join in this fight for Jesus. But here's the deal. We don't use weapons like other people use weapons. Our weapons are love, are being a sincere follower, and Scripture. Those are what we use. Those are our weapons, you guys. I love this. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That is amazing. You guys, when you're out there telling people about God and using Scripture, you are not just quoting from some random book. It's not like just opening up the encyclopedia and reading off, you know, volume F. It's not like that. You're speaking the words of God, and they say that they're sharper than any double-edged sword. That is so amazing, you guys. These are the words that God himself, creator of the universe, chose to write down so that we could have them, so that we could share them. I love that when Jesus comes back, that he can kill people with just his word. That's what he does. Jesus doesn't go around like slashing people with a big sword. All he has to do is, by his word, knock people over and knock them out, because the power of God is so real. You guys, I just saw this summer, and it was awesome. I'm going to use this example. This is a true story. I had a counseling with a girl in the beginning of the school year, towards the end of the school year, I should say. And she was caught up in sexual sin and some other things. And she came and she was real with me, and she told me she had been doing these things, and that she had, you know, committed her life when she was like 7 years old. But I was like, you know what? We talked about it. She knew what she needed to do. I asked her if she wanted to recommit her life that day, and she did. And I kid you not, she took it seriously. And she just came back 2 weeks ago, so the summer's over, and she told me about all the things that she did already. She had spoken to somebody. She'd been speaking to her friends. She had told all of her friends how they need the Lord. She put on her Facebook page that she loves Jesus. She's plastered it everywhere. She's done it all. And she's just now been back with the Lord. And she never thought she could do that. You should have saw the smile on her face. She's like blown away, because this girl that she doesn't like at all basically started asking her about God. And she had this moment where she's like, I can just, you know what? I don't like this girl. Or she had this opportunity to be like, no, God saved me, so how could I not share his love with somebody else? And she did it, and that person didn't give their life to the Lord. I'm not going to give you this like, oh, she came to the Lord, now she's going to, you know, start a church. You know what I mean? But the seed has been planted, you guys. And rest assured that that girl will think about that and wrestle with that. And that's what the word of God is. It's not just like saying, hey, you're going to be okay. When you say Jesus wants to forgive you, when you say the word of God is living and active, when you say things like that, that Jesus will never leave or forsake you to somebody, regardless if they just walk away or not, they have been changed, regardless if you think it's worked or not. They have. It was once said, you guys, that sharing your faith, it's not a duty, but a joy. And so many times we think of it as this chore, like, oh, I know God would want me to do this, but I just don't really want to. I don't feel around it. But that's seeing somebody completely change, you guys, will make you want to do it. Seeing somebody completely change their lives around is insane and amazing. It's one of the coolest things you'll ever see. So we don't ever want to lose our bold flavor, you guys. Be bold out there. Jesus says in Luke 14, what good is salt if it loses its taste? I love that. And then you know what he says? It's not even fit for the dunghill. You know what that is? It's where all the crap is. It's where all the poop is. He's saying, if you're salt and you don't have any flavor anymore, you're not even good enough to be put on a pile of poop. Your only thing you're good enough for is to be trampled under the feet of men. So it's like, if we're called to be salt and bold and flavor in our schools, we need to keep that flavor. We need to keep that boldness. Because if we lose it, then we're pretty much, there's no point in doing it. There's no point in doing it. The same is true for us, you guys. We can never become stale and tasteless. Because we don't want to become this way. Because here's the deal, you guys. This is the craziest part that I don't understand. People who call themselves believers say they follow this guy, Jesus, who's done all this stuff, who goes around telling people about the kingdom of God, who goes around healing, who goes around being this great example, who goes around helping people and going around doing these things. And the guy that we supposedly follow, so many of us don't even do the things that he does. That blows me away. Then why even call ourselves followers of Jesus if we aren't going to do what he himself has done? It sounds silly, right? I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't do anything that Jesus did. Excuse me. You know what I mean? Jesus never lost his flavor or his boldness, and neither should we, you guys. You want to know what bold is? Bold is doing what this Bible passage just said, you guys. It's blessing those who persecute you. That is a bold thing to do. No one but Christians does that. Or how about sympathizing with those who are hurting? Or like it says, stopping to weep with those who weep by saying, hey, dude, I know what you're going through, and I just want to be here with you, and I'm sad about it too. Or how about being humble? It says, stay humble at school. It says, do not be wise to your own opinion. This means instead of trying to make yourself all high and mighty and I'm awesome at school and I'm so smart, it means giving it to God, seeking God's advice throughout the day and giving God the glory. Maybe some of you guys are very talented in school. Maybe some of you guys are literally like straight A students, man. And you know what? You can use everything at school to glorify God. If somebody's like, dude, how do you get such great grades? Instead of saying, oh, because I'm amazing and I have a huge brain and I'm super cool and smart, you can say, because God has blessed me with the ability, dude. And you know what? God's told us that anything we ask that's according to his will, that he'll give it to us. So if God wants you to succeed in school, you'll do it. So don't worry about it. Feel free to ask. And you can use anything, you guys, like that to stay bold in school. Here's some other great ways. How about starting a Bible club? We talked about that. There's paper, there's material on that table back there, you guys, about how to start a Bible club. There's all this stuff. How about starting a prayer group? A prayer group that just meets once a week, you guys. Maybe once in the morning or once in the afternoon or once in the evening. Start off with that. You know what I mean? Once, just once. It doesn't have to be a prayer day every day, get a group together, get 50 people. It can be you and one friend outside praying in public, showing everybody that you're not ashamed of the gospel, that you're willing to do these things. That's a great thing you can do. Or how about giving up your lunch break to go outside, to read your Bible, to pray, to fast? Give your lunch up. I don't know. I'm just thinking. You guys, there's so many ways that we can do this stuff. How about bringing your Bible to school? And when you guys come across something hard in school and something that you're not sure what to do on, instead of just like, whatever, I'm just going to do this, pulling out your Bible, seeking counsel from the Lord on what he would want you to do about it and what he would want you to do. Maybe you guys could make a goal to tell one person a week about the Lord. Or you guys, you could start anything at school. I put all these books back there for you guys too. This one's called Reclaim Your School, 10 Strategies and Practical and Legal Ways to Evangelize Your School. So you can't use the excuse, oh, well, it's against the law. This will tell you how to get around that and how to do things like that. That also will be on that back table. If there's none there, come find me and I'll give them to you, which is a great way. Or how about taking advantage of the free Bible program? I just said it in announcements. How about getting a free Bible and getting some duct tape and duct taping it on somebody's locker and put, Jesus lives, Jesus loves you. I don't know. Those are just my ideas. But you guys have a million probably better ideas. But you could grab a Bible and you could, I just talked to one kid who just signed up for 421 the other day. He got a free Bible. He found a kid that he didn't really know or like and doesn't know the Lord. He got his address and he mailed him the Bible. I was like, are you kidding, dude? And he was like, I seriously did that. I was like, dude, you are amazing. That blows me away, dude. He didn't even have to, you know, he just sent out a Bible. But that kid's going to open it up and be like, dude, who is sending me a Bible, right? Like, this is like, oh, God, you know what I mean? Like, this is freaky, you know what I mean? But he did that. I love that. How about grabbing 10 Velocity business cards and saying, hey, this is the youth group I go to, you guys. You should come. Here, it's a cool thing. Come on, come hang out. How about doing something like that? Very easy, you guys. Those are so many easy things. I challenge you guys to think outside of the box, you guys, when it comes to these things. You guys can be very fun, very creative on ways to reach these people. So often we think that bold means telling people, hey, without Jesus, you're going to hell. Have a nice day, right? And although that is truth, although people do need Jesus or they will go to hell, sometimes telling them turn or burn isn't the best way to do that, right? Sometimes the best way to do it is say, hey, man, how you doing? Oh, good, cool. Hey, oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, actually, on Wednesday nights, I go to Velocity. What's that? Oh, it's at Calvary. It's pretty cool. You know? And you just like start a conversation. You know what I mean? So many times we think that we have to do stuff like that. Like we have to confront people. Like, do you know where you're going? You're going to hell. And just like, you know, that's truth. And we should do those things. That is truth. They need to know that. But there's a better way to do it. God has given us more creativity than that, you guys. So we need to be bold in a good way like that. Be creative, you guys. Think of fun ways to share Jesus. Here's the deal. By being bold in our faith, you're going to come across a lot of friction, you guys. No doubt. That just comes with the territory. If you guys want to live for God and be bold at your schools, you're going to come against people who do not see it your way, who want to try to stumble you, who want to try to stop what you're doing. And that's why our last point of the night is going to be called Be Peaceful, verses 17 through 21. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. And if in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Let's get real, you guys. This is a hard thing to do. There's definitely somebody out there who's wronged us who we want to get vengeance on. I'll be honest. There have been people in my life that, like, I'm like, ugh, like, I want to do something. But you know what? I know that I shouldn't. And this is because this is a very hard thing to do. And in fact, without God, it's an impossible thing to do. I mean, could you imagine what this is calling us to do? This is calling us, I mean, check out, some guy comes and calls you a bunch of names right in your face. Maybe he gets like this close to your face, or he or she, and calls you all these nasty names. And then the next day, you're called to go say, hey, I forgive you. And the guy's like, I didn't ask for your forgiveness. But you're like, it's cool. I forgive you. That's what this is calling for. That is crazy. Could you imagine that? Some guy calls you all these names. You go give him a big bear hug. You know what I mean? He'd be like, get off me. You know what I mean? Like, what's the deal? But that's what it's talking about. And without God, that is an impossible thing. It says here, live at peace as much as depends on you with all men. Follow me here, you guys. It doesn't say be best friends with every single person if you're a Christian. But it says live at peace as much as possible. That means that you, as a Christian, don't instigate things, because only you can control only yourself, right? You can't control the person next to you. I just talked to somebody about this the other day, and I'm going to share this experience with you too. I spoke to one student the other day, and he did not instigate a fight, but he was jumped. Some kids don't like him, whatever, he's got bad problems. And literally he went into school, and like three kids jumped him. And so, what is this guy to do? What's he supposed to do? What's a Christian to do if he gets jumped or physical violence is on the horizon? It says, live at peace with all men. It doesn't say take a beating, right? It doesn't say, hey, just lay down in the fetal position and just get hammered on until your mom shows up or something, right? It doesn't say that. Here's what you can do. You can only defend yourself enough to get away, okay? So if that kid comes into school and he's walking down the hall like, and the, you know, three guys jump him, he has the right to defend himself only until he can get away, okay? Because if not, that would be what this says here. That would be taking vengeance out of anger, right? That would be taking vengeance out of anger. We can't do that. So he has the right to defend himself only until he can get away and leave. I mean, you better believe that if somebody comes into my house where me and my wife are there, that if I don't know who he is, I'm going to start swinging, right? Of course I am. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if he's going to be there to harm me. But I'm not going to sit there and beat him down out of my anger for him coming into my house. I will do as minimal as I can, whatever that means, okay? So that's something good to remember, because I know you guys, some of you guys get in fights, all right? And I know some of you guys don't instigate these fights, but you need to know what is proper, and what is proper is defending yourself. That doesn't mean that you can, like, go push a guy and then he punches you and you're like, I was just defending myself. You know what I mean? That means if they start the fight, that you can defend yourself, but you should never instigate it. That's why it says live at peace as much as possible. Here are three reasons why we should do that. One, it says God says vengeance is his. This is why, because God says, dude, you're a human, you've sinned, you have no right to judge anybody. As being perfect God, I get to judge people. So I want to repay the evil. So I want to repay what needs to be repaid. That's not for you, because you can't repay evil and you can't judge because you yourself have messed up. That's one of the reasons. Two, because vengeance may get back at someone, but it'll never change someone. You hear that? Getting back at somebody, you'll get back at that person, but you'll never change them. Only love and kindness can change a person's heart, you guys. Violence will never change a person. If some guy beats you up and you beat him up, he's going to come beat you up and you're going to beat him up. It's just a vicious cycle. But if some guy beats you up and you say, hey, I forgive you, I'm going to be peaceful with you, then that, I mean, you guys may not think so, that will stick in that person's brain. He will think about those things. You don't just punch somebody and then that guy comes up to you and gives you a handshake and tells you, here's, you know, hey, let me buy you lunch today. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen. But when we do that, it changes people, you guys. People are like, how is it possible? That guy just got beat up yesterday, and here he is trying to live at peace with the guy who beat him up. What is his deal? And they'll find out that your deal is that you believe that God has seen everything that has gone on, and that God knows everything that has happened. And that's our third point, because you never want to stoop to the same level that our enemy uses. We never want to do that. We never want to stoop to the same level that we could do, or the same thing that they're doing. We don't never want to go as low as they are. Evil for evil makes only more evil. But love for evil can counter the evil, you guys. It can, and it will. One person once said, the only way to defeat an enemy is to make them your friend. That's crazy. The only way to really defeat an enemy is to make them your friend. That's powerful, man. Here's what I have to say. I know this is easier said than done, but it can be done. And when you guys do it, know that God is completely glorified, that God is so honored in what you have just done. It is so amazing. And I love this. Here's the best thing. Two things. Jesus said, hey, when you have problems, don't worry, because I overcame the world already. Right? He said, no worries. You're going to have problems because you're a follower of me. But don't worry, because I already took over the whole world. I already conquered death. And don't worry. This is just a temporary thing. And I love what he says here in Matthew 10:30. Jesus says, do not fear, for the very number of hairs on your head are numbered. That blows me away. Only an amazing God who's huge and awesome could dare, and who could know the hairs of your head? They're constantly falling out. But God knows that. And he's so awesome and so huge that on a continuous basis, all the time, all day, God is thinking about us. God sees us. God knows what's happened to us. God knows the good things that have happened, the bad things that have happened, the people who have done evil against us, the people who have done good against us. And he's seen all of that. And he is our defense. And we can rest that Jesus saw all of that. And that God's love is immeasurable for us and awesome. Immeasurable and awesome, you guys. Every hair on your head. That should blow your mind. You couldn't even pull out a thing and count them all. You would lose them. It's impossible. So, make your guys' school year's resolution. And be serious about it, you guys. Most of you guys have finished more school than you have up ahead. Literally. Most of you guys have less school than you've already finished. Right? Which is cool. You guys are really close. And no matter what your school year was like last year, whether it was awesome or great, I pray that you would decide today to have your best year yet, or your best season yet, whatever new thing you're coming into your life. Remember that before you are a student, before you are anything, you are a follower of Christ Jesus. You know, I was reading online about New Year's resolutions, and it says start small. And that's fine. We can start small, you guys. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's what I would say. In Ephesians 3:20, it says that Jesus is able to do more abundantly than all we could ever ask according to the power that is within us. I want you guys to just today, tonight, before you go to bed, think about the possibilities of things that you could be doing at your school. And then know that Jesus wants to do a million times more than what you could have wildest thought of at your school. Because it says he's going to do abundantly more than that. But to be used by God, you guys, means that you need to have God in your life. For God to do great things at your school, for God to want to hang out with you at your house, for God to want to do everything, he needs to be in your life. Maybe some of you guys here are sick of having the same old school year. Maybe some of you guys have dreaded this year. Maybe you've tried everything, man. Like, man, I tried everything and nothing. It's just school and it's just another year and I'm just sick of it again. I dare you to trust in the Lord and to give him your life and to give him your school year and to be sincere about it, to fill out one of those things and say, God, what is it you would have me do in my school this year to change it? God, what is it you want me to do? But you cannot do that, you guys, unless you have the Lord in your life. I dare you guys. I did it 2.5 years ago. I said, God, I don't understand everything, and I don't even know what the deal is, but here, I'm going to give you my life, and if you're going to do something with it, then I'll believe in you. And God did it. And that is why I'm here today, you guys. That's why I stand here telling you guys, not because of any other reason, but I've seen its actuality and its realness and God's love in my own life. And so I just dare you and I encourage you guys to give your life to the Lord, to give him your school year, and to think about how much you could accomplish this year for the Lord in your schools. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. God, I pray for everybody's school year, God. God, I know there's people who don't know you. God, people who aren't excited about school. God, people who are scared to evangelize. God, people who are scared of people at school, people who are getting bullied, people who are bullies. God, I pray that they would lay all of that down, Lord. God, that you would just speak to people, God, who need your life today. Who need, Lord, who need you. God, I thank you so much for everything you've done, Lord. God, I just pray that you would bless our year, bless our efforts, God. Show us your awesomeness, God. God, may we never forget that the hairs on our head are counted and that you know them. You see everything. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if any of you guys have any questions or any of you guys need to make a commitment, I'll be right here, you guys. All right?